My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where we talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
I'm Skeptical.
I'm Cap.
Yeah. And I'm Star.
And no one sounds depressed here at all. That's great. This is the series finale episode of the Bad Batch. I sound
There's
kind
so
of
much
like
energy. Yeah. I'm Colin.
I'm telling you, like,
I've like turned my volume down because you're normally just like so stoked about everything.
I don't know. This one felt weird because it was like it's the end, but it didn't feel like the end. And there were a lot of open plots that never got closed. And I'm just very intrigued by it. Josh and I, before we started recording, said that, you know, there's a possibility that they might announce, you know, a new clone series of some sorts because, you know, spoilers if you haven't seen The Bad Batch, but if you are watching this episode and you haven't watched it, that's wild to me. This is crazy because it's just like we didn't get anything with Rex. We didn't get anything with Cody. Yeah. We didn't get anything with Wolf. We even had Scorch died, even though it's not our Scorch.
Scorch died last year.
Big Scorch, yeah.
No.
Scorch died last year. He dodged stun blasts in season one. He was a bat. Well, I can't say that. He was awesome in season one. but no, he just stood there. Took less shots in Katarn class armor than Commander Thorn did. And then fell off a bridge.
That's true.
Yeah.
Bring the energy. I loved this. I thought this was an awesome episode. I loved it. I wish they had given us some things that they didn't. But all things considered, I am pleased.
I will say from a writing perspective, this ending is refreshing for the Batch members.
Yeah.
Yep. Specifically for the members of the Batch. It was very refreshing to see this ending. We're probably not going to be as chronological in this review as we are normally.
Sure.
But at least ending-wise, looking at where the characters ended up, where Omega and Hunter and Crosshair and Wrecker, where those characters and Batcher, which I've yet to mention, but the little Pokemon children, they also say Batcher as Betcha, because that's what Omega said, and they don't have New Zealand accents, but they were like,
funny.
We're just going to call it Betcha.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's a little mention. But it was just really refreshing, because we're used to seeing characters for a specific show, and like almost all of them die, because that's how, you know, Star Wars makes sure their chronology works out.
Yeah.
But it was I keep saying the word refreshing, but it's truly what it was. It was really nice to kind of sit back and go, you know what? This had a lot of things that I personally think was like a disservice to what this show was trying. It felt like it was trying to set up. But as for where our main characters ended up, it's kind of nice to see a relatively happy ending for Star Wars.
Yep. Yeah, I really liked, I think kind of probably the same thing you just said, but I'll say it because I want to, is that like
original.
Having it, I know, right? It's crazy. But having it be that you effectively take these characters out of the Star Wars universe at the end of this show by having them retire was such a different way. Like Star Wars normally is like, we don't want them to show up again. So let's just kill them, you know?
Them all.
And so like, that's what we were all expecting. And so it was really interesting to be like, that's all I had in my head. And it was surprising to have Dave Filoni not murder a bunch of people that don't show up later. And so that was kind of fun to have like, oh wow, this is a different way to like put some characters away in a way. And I did like that for their story because they have been through a lot. And so it was cool to see the clones get to be something more than just soldiers, which I know we've talked about that before. Like going back to like the Republic Commando books and stuff, it was cool to see that actually be pulled into the Bad Batch. So for the Batch members, that was a pretty cool ending.
Yeah.
Well, something for me, and I don't know who will agree and disagree with me, but I kind of felt like the ending was kind of rushed. I felt like this episode was just like, here's the plot holes that we got. Let's do our best to answer them in some capacity. Mm-hmm. Because of the big one for me was the whole cloning obsession that the Emperor has had from the very beginning of the Clone Wars. And we get our answer without getting our answer because of Rempart is like, all right, now let's say, tell me about Project Necromancer.
Yeah,
we get a different like cutscene, comes back, and then Rempart is like, oh, so that's what Project
Well, they're still trying to pay that off in like the Mandalorian movie and what
right
so, yeah. I know I get it, but I was just like, you can't have Ian McDiarmid come back, do a cameo like that of like and make it to like a big deal. We didn't even get to see like of who were in the actual pods and in that third episode of where they walk in the room and it's like the old Sith stuff. So it's just like, come on, man. We didn't even get that. We also didn't get to find out who the sleeper who the sleeper agents were. We don't know if it was tech, probably not, because of they just showed a bunch of them. We were like, oh, cool. They have cool like weapons and stuff, and you know, that's great, but we didn't get anything whatsoever, any indication. And they also made it seem like it was someone.
They spent
a decent amount throughout the season focusing on this one sleeper agent. So you're like, okay, he's got to be someone. And then he just gets stabbed in the chest. And you're just like, oh.
For the first time, Hunter's actually not on the episode in a good amount of weeks. But beforehand, I was able to talk to him. And we were just like, it was kind of, because about the CX clones, it makes sense. You know, their entire thing is that their personality is supposed to be white. So have a faceless antagonist, kept it faceless. It kind of feels like they were dragging tech a little bit. In the episodes where they were like, you can tell that they were being like, hey guys, you know, you want to see memories of tech? Yeah, this is the only time you're going to see them is when we also show the sleeper agent. Hey, you know the only other person in the Star Wars universe that's a domicile? It's tech and the sleeper
agent. Yeah, exactly. I know.
But at the same time, and there was that one sleeper agent that had like the two red eyes in his helmet, and Hunter and I were like, we saw it, we thought it was tech. Oh, they pulled the rug out. Now that's tech. But it was like, it's kind of nice to be like, oh, those guys just actually don't matter. We just pulled you along for a whole season. But at the end of the day, they're supposed to be just faceless assassin clones, and they're all dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
there's more eye candy to look at.
Yeah, definitely. And I also feel like they had a bit of like an inquisitor feel to them. Like they were inquisitors, you know? Like, and it was, I thought it was a little odd with them to have them show up for like one episode and be like, wow, this one has two swords and that one has like, they had these like special things that you felt like you should be going like, oh, I'm supposed to learn something about them. And then they were suddenly just like dead. And like, I'm glad that they gave the Batch some cool villains to fight. But it did feel a little odd to go straight from we've been following just one to then suddenly like, look, this one has swords, this one has this, this one has that, to then just like, and they're dead. Like it was that felt a little odd to me.
Especially since we already had another CX sniper who looked the exact same to this one in season two.
Yes.
It's like we had a repeat of that
type of CX. And I mean, like we had one, we had a CX that was killed at the beginning of this season. Then we had one in season two that was killed, who was also a sniper. And so it was an interesting, like, like, and to be fair, each one of them have been random clones. So in some way, having these ones all be random clones is kind of like, well, I guess so. But I do think they kind of dragged people who is it? Who's the identity? You know? Yeah. And then it was just like,
doesn't matter. Like, he's dead now.
He's dead.
No, I mean, that's an amazing, it's a great point. I kind of, before this episode, I kind of didn't realize how much of that pattern I got into of like, oh, every CX looks the exact same because they lost their individuality on a complete perspective. Yeah. They don't care about it in the first place. So they all fight the same. They all look the same.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Same, they all act the same.
Yep.
They, singular purpose, nothing else.
Yeah.
Yep. And then because we want to have cool looking baddies for our awesome season finale, let's give them a little bit of individuality. Let's have them all their own little fight styles and all their own little helmets.
Right.
Because, you know, you need a very specific helmet to be able to use two swords as opposed to...
Yes, for sure. Everybody knows.
You do.
As everyone knows.
Two sword helmet. Yeah.
Common logic.
Yeah.
That is definitely an interesting connection.
So, before we start, like, you know, going different places, let's start going down and then kind of work our way to...
Yeah, we have done that for 11 minutes.
So the way that this episode opened, the theme was kind of not haunting to the level that we got in season 7 of the Clone Wars near the end, but it was kind of daunting, which to me could have hinted at a bunch of different things. It was like, you know, that to me, that when music plays like that, someone is not going to make it. Someone is going to, you know, maybe be the last domino or something.
Yep.
And we just didn't get that. And I was really shocked.
Yeah.
But we open up in the jungle. The Empire is searching for the Bad Batch, and we open to Wrecker being injured, and he's, you know, complaining and be like, I'm fine, but he's not fine. And at this point in the episode of seeing Wrecker that injured, do we have any indication that, oh, hey, he's probably not going to make it?
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, Wrecker, he's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, with that opening with the ominous music and what have you, we also got the Star Wars open logo with the helmets and the lights flashing, the lights slowly transitioning to...
Yep.
Just a white light, and then the logo for the first time we saw it without their paint
on. Yeah, like the armor. So, yeah, that's cool. That was a really cool detail. Yeah.
It goes up with all the different colored, like, Clone Wars logos that we get that signify very special arcs.
And the next couple of scenes, it's Hemlock talking to Rampart. And at this point, I really didn't know of where Rampart's mind was. Like, I didn't know if he was going to try and rat on them. I mean, he really didn't. Throughout the episode, like, it didn't seem like he was like, oh yeah, he is still a bad guy until we got to the part.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, what is he supposed to rat on them? Hey, by the way, Clone Force 99's out there in the jungle. Like, yo, we know.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I liked that they had that scene because you got a little bit more information into, like, what Hemlock's thinking. And, like, Rampart really was there to just, like, drive, like, telling what Hemlock's going to do. And also, like, it was nice to have Rampart in this, I think, season finale, because it really, like, drew back to season one, having him here.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I really was surprised that he didn't have a bigger part he was going to play, because, like, he, you know, he did reveal some stuff, you know, and talk to Nala Se. But I kind of expected him to, like, have some kind of a bit more when this scene happened with him and Hemlock.
I thought we got another time when there was, like, a closing line or a closing shot around Hemlock where he's like, and you no longer have usefulness. And there's multiple blasters being pointed towards him. I'm like, he's done. He's gone.
Yeah.
Like, once again, he's dead off screen.
Yep.
They're going to, like, swing the blade down and yep. then cut away. And the next thing we know, something's gone or something. But yeah. like, he's still alive. That was on purpose.
Yeah, we love it.
But I didn't expect that much from him. Like, I expected a kind of, you know, let's see, as Star said, let's see into Hemlock's perspective, see what he's like. Oh, the clones are too loyal, I'm gonna kill them all. And then he's dead, executed in a cell.
Yep. Yeah.
But no.
Yep.
He stayed alive so that he could die by Iowa bait.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I liked. To be fair, I did like that.
No, I don't like Iowa bait being given heroic perspectives.
No, not that.
No, but they both blew up. Josh.
I like that they both blew up.
I can be swayed from that perspective.
So we then go to the vault of where the kids are in the room, and they are finally executing the plan where they are actually going to escape. And what we all suspected was that they would release the Zillow Beast, and they execute the plan. They do knock out the doctor that did not like Avery at all, and they escape. They start going through. I was expecting the youngest, the one baby to like cry a lot sooner, just because, like, you know, you're going through a different environment and it's also a baby. But
they were pulling out the shirts and they were like tearing them up to make the like backpack thing.
Yeah.
Fully expected a gag to go around the baby's mouth.
Yeah.
It's like they're shutting that thing up.
So I really actually liked in this scene when they were knocking that doctor out that Omega like reprograms the droid, which is such a tie back to episode one when you have the Bad Batch in the training room and Tech reprograms the droid, and that's how he gets around, like that's how they get around like surviving. And it was episode one season one. Anyway, but it was fun to see like Omega use that tech knowledge and bring it back to reprogram the droids. And they did a lot of that through the episode of drawing things back to the very first episode.
Oh, yeah, a lot of
in season one, and that was pretty cool to see her using those skills. So
And I feel like she, and I don't know if they did this on purpose or maybe I'm reading into it a lot, but in that sequence with her trying to get the kids out, she reprograms a droid like Tech. She has her little shank that she's carrying around, and she's got it. She's holding it like Hunter's knife. Yeah. And then she's leading a bunch of kids, kind of like Echo leading clones. And then she's also, what was the other thing? Oh, she's breaking through a wall like Wrecker did in season one, episode one. Yeah. And like maybe it's too far of a stretch, but like they did a good job of letting her really use all of the things she's learned from the batch and pull it directly back to season one, episode one. And I just think they did a really good job with sort of the artistry of that.
Yeah. And being like, I had the training, you know, they did a lot of like, and having the kids be her story where like, she doesn't really get a lot of help with getting them out.
Does it herself.
Omega kind of come into her own story and be like the leader. And that was, that was cool.
Yeah, no, it's a good payoff for, because I remember back in season one, she was like mimicking Hunter's moves and everything. And there are all these theories that were like, is she like a mimic? And she like sees something happen and mimic it right away and all that stuff. So I don't think it's reading into it at all, but probably intentional that it's showing how much she learned by example, along with being directly taught. She was just a very good observer and able to apply what she learned to become her own. You know, she, as Hunter very much later says, she is their kid. She became the best of all of them.
Yep.
Which is, you know, what anyone could hope to be.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And she uses, you know, the skills that she's learned over the years, and she releases the Zillow Beast, which the Zillow Beast just creates chaos in the entire station. And as this is happening, You've got Echo and Dr. Avery that are trying to find Omega and the kids.
Yep.
Do we feel that the doctor, her switching over to the good side happened really quickly? Did it feel forced at all to any of you, or was
we
it
got
like
an
oh,
entire
it makes sense?
Episode almost from her perspective showing that transition in her character? So I don't think it was, I think it was just enough that we got to see that transition, we got to see it make sense, and we didn't see it like last episode, we saw it weeks ago, so it helped that we made that connection and we understand that time's passed since we saw those inklings of, you know, her wanting to be different and wanting to help these kids. We had time to digest and understand that that could, that those feelings would develop into more by this point. So I thought it was, I thought her character was handled quite well.
Okay. And then Hemlock is he, so to me, he kind of had that same mindset as Thrawn did in certain situations of where he was like, okay, we like, we may be losing, but it's all part of my plan. And, and it was his way to like kind of keep everyone around him being like, oh, okay, so he's one step ahead of the game. But in reality, he wasn't. He was just kind of
floundering,
getting thrown around with the punches.
Yep.
So I just thought that was funny as things kept like happening. He was like, oh, okay, I'm going to twist this and make everyone think that I know exactly what's going on.
Yep.
But in reality, he didn't.
On Hemlock, he, in this episode, I just, the voice actor is so good. Like, I just realized that even more in this episode. And like the way that his voice intonations would handle like the stress of like, oh my God, this is what's happening now. This is what's happening. Like, he was just really believable. Yeah. And then the way they wrote the character, he's like, you can tell he's trying to be this conniving, like genius who's like thinking one step ahead, but he is, he's floundering and he seems a little nuts ultimately. Yeah. And it's just, it's a really like, he's a really strong character. So I liked him. There was something
about him that reminded me of like a good old, I don't know, like a good old, just like, evil scientist villain. Like, he just, which obviously he was an evil scientist, but just like
his mannerisms.
Yeah,
you know, I have the kid, and but we're and jumping ahead. But
I think my favorite evil Star Wars scientist is probably from the Clone Wars, the blue shadow virus guy.
Oh my God.
Love that guy. Yep. Classic. Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask is, do you think the Zillow Beast is at like the full size that we saw the original Zillow Beast in the Clone Wars, or do you think it's still smaller and still growing?
Still smaller. And I did want to call that out. It was incredibly smart. The second Zillow Beast has escaped, one of like the three lines Scorch had before he died the second time. And Hemlock immediately says, turn off the power generator. He cuts off the thing that the Zillabies can use to get bigger, which I was like, that's smart. I'll give you that, Michael Jackson man.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think it was definitely much smaller.
It's a lot smaller
than its full size. Yeah.
Yep.
I liked
and...
it. I did too. I liked that it got to escape. I don't know if that's the right environment for it to live in. I hope it's okay, but away it went. It had its own little like Jurassic Park moment with the birds. So kind of, it's really fun. I liked seeing the lizard get away. I was like, yay!
No,
that's almost exactly what Hunter probably would have said too. I got more giant lizard escaped and did not die.
Oh,
the movie's got some amazing shots too. Like,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the last episode of Bad Batch. Well lit shots that, like, you had this a couple moments where they were like, hey guys, we're taking inspiration from some very good Godzilla movies and making some shots just for you guys.
Yep.
And there was the one where I really liked, there's two of them that specifically stand out. One of them is like, Zilby smashed something and like mid scream, it just cuts over to another scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's classic.
Yep.
Not letting it finish off and show like the terror is continuing. And then the other one that I really liked was all the TKs are standing at the door. They're ready.
Yeah.
And you're like, you are two lines of E-11s. You're not doing jack.
Yep.
Jack. And then Zilby's bursts in and it's like a split second of oh god. And then everything just lights up red. And because they're blasting, because it wasn't, there was like no lights because the generator was turned off. So then you actually see all of them because of the red blaster fire. And I thought that was very good diegetic.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They did some really cool. I really liked their shots with the Zillabees. Yeah. And I really liked the part that it got to play in the story. You know, I liked that. I was worried in some capacity that it would like end up being something the Batch had to fight. And I like that. I like that it was just its escape story. Like, then the Zillabees is just like, yo, get out of my way. And just like leaves. Like, that was pretty fun.
I kind of wish we got Zillabees destroying the entire base as opposed to,
honestly,
Tarkin getting the ability to say, we're the one who shut down this base.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I wish there was absolutely nothing. Yeah. Like, you know, the entire fake mountain caves in on itself. It's just rubble. And Tarkin's just walking on the, like, ashes. He's like, well, I guess we can't do anything here.
Yep.
As opposed to, like, there's still a lot of base left for him
to
get that vindication, which I think.
No.
Also, he was talking to some random floor officer. He's like, give me all your funding. I'm like, I don't think she has the ability to give
right, I know.
Okay. I think you're the one who can go, that's mine now. I don't think she cares. Like walking up to your cafeteria lady in like elementary school and you're like, can you grade my paper better?
Right.
So the Zillow Beast does escape. The Bad Batch sees that happen on the ground. Crosshair at this point is like, listen, this is kind of all my fault. I'm okay with going in because whoever goes in is probably not coming out, and this is what I deserve. And Hunter and Wrecker, you know, reassure him and be like, listen, you know, we all make mistakes and we're all together. We're going in together, and if we die, you know, it's gonna happen. And I like how at this point Crosshair still thinks that, you know, that they're mad at him, and they just keep reassuring, hey, listen, stuff happens, we are with you until the end. And that was just like, all right, the boys are back, let's go. So at this point in time, I was like, okay, someone's not gonna make it. So that was kind of like, oh, okay.
It doesn't help the marketing around this episode. I mean, not disregarding three seasons of lead up and all the cameo characters we got. We had The Cavalry Has Arrived as a title of the episode. What cavalry arrived? What was the flash strike last week? It's like, what is this naming convention? Two. There was that tweet with like the Game of Thrones dragon or whatever.
Right.
Like, here's a hint from the script and what's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
99.
Yep. Yep.
Guys, I might not have seen the same episode that they did because I didn't see Plan 99.
Well, but that was the line, right? You know, somebody said Plan 99, so there it is. But then
someone said Captain Rex. So does it mean Captain Rex appeared in this episode?
Ooh, wait. So do I get my
drink? No! You do not get your drink.
I think I should get my drink.
You don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The naming of these episodes
has been confusing.
It has been. It really has. It does seem like they've just pulled a lot of like, ooh, the CX clone. It's probably tech. Just kidding. It's not tech. Flash strike. Wait, there's no flash strike. Like, so there's a lot of this kind of like,
I don't know. It could be Cody. It's not Cody.
Yeah.
It's not Wolf.
Yeah.
You're not seeing Wolf again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a fine line between like being really interesting and surprising and really just kind of misleading. And I'm just not sure where I even, how I feel about
it. I know where I stand. It's Delta Squad. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then as that is happening, as the Bad Batch is getting there, you actually have the kids and Omega, they're up there at this point, and they you know, they end up getting shot at by a bunch of stormtroopers, and then Echo comes in, he saves the day, and then he's able to get everyone else off the ship. And as they're going, they also see that the Bad Batch is captured at this point. I know I skipped a tiny bit ahead, but with all of those sleeper agents, how did we feel about all their weird weapons and stuff? Because that really threw me off. There was a guy that had like two swords and like a spear, and his like helmet was like a trident one, and you're just like, what is happening? Do we think they're all like classic clones? Or because I feel like each of those sleeper agents had like a different build.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, I really like this episode a lot, and especially following the Batch's story. But there were a lot of things that like the CX clones, I'm like, whoa, could you give us a little bit more? You know, so like there were a couple episodes earlier in this season that I'm like, you know, they're a little bit filler-esque. And could you not throw in one of those other CX clones and give us more, a little bit more background, or introduce them, us to them a little bit sooner? So it's not just like, wham, here's all these like kind of random new people right here at the end. Cause that did feel kind of rushed. So I mean, I liked it. It's all right. I felt like there was more to be explored there.
They function very similarly to the Jetpack Mandos and the like proto Praetorian Guards in Mando season 3. This like random appearance, new armor, bad guys. And I think we talked, I do not know if it was while we were live or before we went live, about how all these new CX clones kind of subterfuges the samey lack of individuality that the previous three that we had seen, that were all wearing the exact same armor. They were all snipers. We thought almost every single one of them was Sev. But like, it kind of undermined that just to have the eye candy bit. And at the same time, Star Wars is selling toys. So
that's
more toys to sell. So it's a back and forth. But at the end of the day, I do think it was kind of an odd choice to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like, you know, having the fight scene at the, like, where they end up capturing Batch, because I think that's where we are right now. I don't want to skip too far ahead. And having that whole thing take place, like, part of me is like, they needed to fight the CX clone there. Like, that made perfect sense.
Yeah.
But part of me was like, I personal opinion, would have liked to see, like, maybe it's the CX clone and Scorch. And then we get to see Scorch do cool stuff. Scorch is the, you know, so we get to see, here's a boss commando fight, Scorch commando fight, but you get what I'm saying. Anyway, and you get, like, the CX clone, because, like, he's been promised this whole time. And because I feel like that would have actually drawn characters that we've seen the whole time, you know, Scorch and the CX clone. So it was a little odd to, like, pull in these other, like I said, like, Inquisitor clones. Like, they really did function like these different, anyway.
So
I would have rather seen, you know, oh, here's Scorch, or, like, here's a couple more commandos, and pulled into some of the themes that they'd drawn throughout. Again, you know, it is what it is. They didn't play a huge role, in my opinion. So, like, it didn't detract a ton. It just could have been cooler to have some more draws through the rest of the story.
Crosshair loses a hand, and I was just like, oh, okay. All right. Because
Yeah. When therapy can't fix it, I guess you just
whack it off.
If you can't meditate it away, then just get rid of it.
It is not having those twitches anymore. It's gone now.
No. And no need to meditate. You know.
Oh God. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I thought of. I'm a terrible person, but I learned, like, I was like, they've made this whole big point about his hand, and it's been shaky this whole time. And they're like, quick, we can fix it by that. And then it's like, I guess if you chop it off, there's no problem anymore. Like, I guess it just solves it. You know, like,
I'm almost disappointed that we didn't get this joke way earlier in the season where Omega's like, we can fix it by this and this and this. And Crosshair goes, can't I just cut it off?
Oh my God, that would be so funny.
Because I make that joke all the time about my knees. I'm like, I just cut it off. I'll get a prosthetic. Like, I'll get some awesome robot legs that work so much better than what I have now. Like,
Well, I mean, Crosshair did it. You too can.
Oh Lord. Anyway,
Crosshair did it. You can too.
Yeah,
and that's great logic. Jeez.
Wonderful logic.
So the Zilla Beast has gone out in the jungle. The crew has been captured, and the kids have escaped. And at this point, we're like, maybe we've got 27 minutes left of the episode. I was like, man, if we get Rex and them coming in right now, it would be perfect. We didn't get them, fortunately. But we do learn more of how the conditioning works that Hemlock was talking about. And they put Crosshair, Wrecker, and Hunter all into the conditioning like machine to make them more like the sleeper agents. It really doesn't do anything to them except it makes them sleepy, which is, I mean, like it makes them sleepy, which is ironic because they're called sleeper agents, which is it's funny. But Omega and Echo then go to the area of where all the other clones are captured, including Nalase and Rampart, and they just break out a bunch of clones. I didn't expect to see that many clones, but there was a lot down there. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah, I actually did. Yeah.
I mean, it's a big mountain, so yeah, they got room, you know? Why not store them all up? And I mean, I guess like all the like prisoner transports that they've been, you know, like that we've seen in like season two and stuff, like they're taking a lot of clones there.
Yeah, that's true.
So like, yeah. And I really liked having Echo get to fulfill that story, to be like, him and Omega have always been going on about like the clones on Tantus, the clone, and like having those two be the ones that get to go down there, get to get the clones. Like that felt very like, okay, that was fulfilling. That was good. That was a good part of that story.
And as much as I would have loved to see Rex in this episode, it also like getting to see Echo kind of take the Rex role where he's going down there, he's freeing the clones, he's got the speech for them. That was kind of cool to see, given that this episode decided to focus on the Batch story instead of Rex and Cody and, mm-hmm. and that crew. I liked giving Echo that.
Yeah, it also kind of felt cool to have it be Echo because it did feel like kind of like a, I don't know, like kind of a fulfillment of like Fives' story as well. Having like, you know, Fives kind of find out this stuff about chips and about being used by like the Emperor and all this different stuff, and having like that be his story in Clone Wars, and having Echo being able to save some of the clones from like the effects of the Emperor and experimentation was a cool, like, I mean, if you've watched Clone Wars, I felt like that was a cool mm-hmm. drawback to like what Fives wanted to do,
kind of completing his mission.
And they kind of get a band of clones to go, and it sounds like Nalase has other plans. Rampart sees that happening, but right before Hemlock is called away from the conditioning of Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair to go meet with Tarkin, and Tarkin, you know, he's like, I'm very disappointed in you. You have gone over budget, and this is not what we talked about. I'm going there to fix the problem. And Hemlock at this point is just like, you know what? I don't care anymore. Like, you guys do what you're going to do, but I'm just going to have my evil plan. You can have your own evil plans. And they then get to the area. So Omega and Echo and the other clones that have escaped, they have gotten to the room where Hunter and the rest of them are, and they kind of send Omega ahead to do like a scouting mission. And then Nalase goes back to the room of where she was testing Omega's blood in the beginning of this entire season, and Rampart, being the weird slimy person that he is, he goes in and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna investigate. And then he does ask the question, tell me everything that you know about Project Necromancer. And I'm like, all right, cool, finally we are getting to the soul of what this entire episode of this whole show has been about, which is the obsession of Emperor Palpatine's like with clones, right? And then we just cut to the next scene and we don't get anything. So disappointing.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, for me, and this is something I could probably say at the end of our recap, but I think this episode told us what the show was about. And so we've been talking back and forth about, like, you know, is this show about cloning? Is it about, you know, watch this little band of clones try to survive? Is it about, what was the third thing? I don't know. But there's a bunch of different storylines that it's like, what is it? And it's only until the end of a show that you kind of figure out what it is about, you know, the whole thing. How do they tie it up? And so I think for me, I would have really liked to know more about Project Necromancer 2. And I was really expecting that we would, but it seems to turn out in hindsight that this story was from the beginning way more focused on
the batch.
You know, the batch and Mega, you know, kind of this coming of age story. And they leave out and they really don't touch on a lot of those sort of background details that are important to us, but aren't important to like the batch's sort of personal stories. So, you know, I wanted to know more. And I would also like to, yeah, I'd like to know, but it seems like the story wasn't as much about cloning.
I mean, from, I see that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From the way I look at it and looking at it holistically, the story overarching that I see is a group of clones trying to find what it means to no longer be a soldier, find mm-hmm. what it's like to find your own life, but a war that left you behind or that they left behind is still trying to pull it back in from yep. multiple parties.
Yeah.
And the main party that was pulling them back in was Project Necromancer. Like that was right. the main thing that was like, this is Omega. This is why she's important.
Yep. Yeah.
But we never got like all we got the why was she's important to Necromancer.
Right. And, yeah.
Like, hints as to what you know her end yep. count, what she affects in that things, and yep. you know we've come to our own conclusion. We've discussed over weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yep.
But I see that. I think you know if your main thing is you know the main driving force that's keeping your clones from reaching their end goal of yep. retiring yeah. and you know finding a relaxing life, shouldn't your audience know
yeah.
more about what yes. the project is?
Yep. They almost owed us a little bit more explanation. It didn't have to be a ton, but just something, you know,
47 episodes to do so. Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And I think that's totally fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, and then we go to Omega kind of scouting out the area, and you've got different sleeper agents that are kind of on patrol. The armor for some of them is very interesting. I know there's one guy, his like helmet just reminds me of like someone from Atlantis or something like that. And I just thought the armor design was interesting. So I'm really curious to hear in the future of where some of these designs came from. If they were just on the spot or they were inspired by something, it's very interesting looks.
Not some dark probably
yeah.
tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah. Yep. And then Omega says, I need that distraction now. The clones come in. So it's Echo and a bunch of those clones. And as the chaos is happening down below, she does sneak into the area. She's able to break a piece off of the restraint that's holding down Wrecker. But before she can do anything else, one of the sleeper agents walks up and stops her, and then Hemlock is like, all right, you know, this is the end, you are my prize, and I will be able to finish everything. And right before we continue the story, we go back to Nelise and Rampart, and Rampart's like, that's really interesting, I have everything I need to know, and then I can use this as leverage against the Empire. And then Nalase makes the sacrifice, and she, as Rampart shoots her in the chest, she drops the thermal detonator and explodes, and all the research is gone. So any hope of knowing what Project Necromancer is, we probably won't find out until maybe the new Mandalorian movie or season 4 of the Mandalorian. Yep. Either way, some time down the road we'll figure it out, but
yep,
not in the Bad Batch. Yeah. Yep. And then Omega then says, hey, you know, you have lost, you know, there is no coming back from this, and and the gas is going down. It's the same gas that I don't think we've seen at all this season. It was from last season of where they used it on Crosshair when he was trying to escape. And Wrecker slowly wakes up, and then, you know, he just unleashes the chaos, and he just, you know, he jumps out of there and he just tackles a guy through the window and falls down. And Wrecker's still injured at this point from the last episode. So I thought, honestly, Wrecker's not going to make it.
No, when he hit the ground, I was like, oh gosh, he's done.
He's just such an MVP, though. He just is. Like keeps coming back. He's
Dude, I thought all of the fight scenes were Lardy
on his first appearance. At least from memory, it doesn't seem like they nerfed his strength throughout the show. Nice. His Hunter definitely got nerfed.
But big time.
Which we did get like Spider Sense payoff in this episode.
That was cool.
That's true.
I like
that. Was really cool. Yeah, me too. But it was one of those things, Hunter and I were talking about this like last week, I think it was. But it was just like they're in a writer's room, like we need 4 super special ops. When we have the sniper, we have the super smart guy, we got the tough guy. We need a 4th. What do we do? Just have a guy. What do we need for this episode? We need to find a base. Oh, well, he can like
smell dirt
it as easy as he can. He's a hunter. That's his name. And then over the course of 47 episodes, they're like, we can't really, we kind of created something that's almost too good. We can only use this like when we remember it exists.
That's
how it feels.
Right, because like half the time he'll be like, ooh, something's sneaking up on us, and then the rest of the time he'll be completely blindsided. Worm, you know? It's like, how did you not hear a giant worm come?
You're
right.
Was he not? Actually, that's a really good point. Those like sensor things that were like creating the sound that cut the animal away, how did it not hurt him?
You'd think.
I don't know. Good questions. Good questions all. But yeah, Wrecker strong and pushed a guy out of window.
And as that is happening, Hemlock and Scorch go outside, and we're like, okay, are they going to escape? Like, what's going to happen? And their ship that is coming in to pick them up, which is the sleeper agent ship, comes in. And it gets taken down by Crosshair and Hunter, and they don't even hesitate. They just shoot down Scorch, and all of us are just like, "Wow, okay,
we're taking a quick step back here." So we get a pseudo Camino here with a lot of rain. We get the lightning flashes that accentuates like the dome top to these antenna towers with the singular walkway. Like, we got a very, you know, visual allusion to Camino, which is nice. Start and finish. And then we got to see someone cosplaying as Scorch walk around with Hemlock for months on end and then taint less shots than Commander Thorn and die.
Yeah. It took... Yeah,
remember in Republic Commander when you had shields?
Yeah. It took him 5 shots to get knocked down.
Yep.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. It was sad.
I'm still curious.
One last joke.
Yeah. One.
Or like, I'm joining my pod brother or something. Right. Anything.
Yeah. Well, it really felt like, and you know, it really felt like to me that what they did with Scorch in this series was they wanted a cool paint job that people would recognize and get excited about. And they wanted to capture some Republic Commando fans and get them excited about seeing Scorch and always wonder if they'd see Delta. And lo and behold, we never did. And we didn't even see Scorch. It was fake Scorch. And so to me, like whoever that trooper was who's been running around terrorizing the batch this whole time, to have Crosshair and Hunter shoot him. Cool. He just didn't fulfill, for people who know Delta Squad, the role of that being a Delta. No, so it's like, that's, you know, that's chill for whoever that fake Scorch guy is, dude. Because, you know, he's been kind of terrorizing them. They get to shoot him. He falls off. Yay, we're happy. This is fine. But to have it be like, but he's painted like Scorch, to everyone who is a Republic Commando fan, was certainly a bit like, but to me, it wasn't just that scene. It's everything they've done with him, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
his first appearance was pretty sick.
It was, with the exception of that.
And there was that interview before the season dropped where they're like, we're going to see more Republic Commandos. And producer lady was like, well, we're going to see a lot more of Scorch, but I can't say anything about more Republic Commandos, maybe in future content. Yeah. At this point, I'm like, I don't know if I want you to touch him. What you did to my boy? You hand-mandled my boy.
I know.
Yeah, and the way that they also take down Hemlock too, I was kind of shocked. They put four laser blasts into Hemlock, and
awesome.
He's standing after that first one. He just keeps backing up, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
that was rough. Like I having him just constantly get knocked back by those shots, I don't know, that was rough. I liked it. I don't know, I like the way they took out Hemlock. It made me pretty happy, because like,
and
everybody knew that there had to be some kind of, you know, Crosshair shot that pays off, but like once his hand was like ganked, it was kind of like, yikes, you know, what kind of Crosshair shot can you pull with, like, you know, no arm? So that was wild, but like I actually really liked the way they took him out, because it was fun to see all three of these characters like work together. Like, you got to see that Omega is not just like, obviously she's in distress, but like she has a plan that's gonna set, you know, Crosshair up to be able to actually make that shot, and having like Hunter be pulling the squad leader role of you know, commanding that whole situation, and having Hunter be the person they got to just like yeet him was really fulfilling. So I liked seeing him die.
I thought that was
a fulfilling way for him to go. I really did.
We got the payoff of Crosshair too, especially comparing that to the shooting the tracker beacon onto the CX ship. It was nice,
and having it be the same ship too that they take down, that was a good full circle moment.
So after Crosshair takes the redemption shot, Omega then comes over for a hug, but she goes straight for Crosshair and then has Hunter join in. And to me, just, it's so nice to like just kind of bring everything full circle, because in the beginning, Crosshair wanted nothing to do with Omega whatsoever. Yeah. And just throughout this season, it was, I am now your older brother and I'm going to take care of you no matter what. And he really fulfilled that. And that made me so happy to, you know, see him just go through everything that not only did he lose, but just, you know, he thought he was doing the right thing at first by joining the Empire. And then, you know, he, of just everything that he went through and embraced. And then even after all the bad things that you know, he did, the Bad Batch still accepted him, and including Omega. And I think this whole ordeal has been a lot for him. And I know we're kind of fast forwarding, but I'm just really curious of what really happened to his character. Like if there were any adventures or anything like that, but you know, who knows, but they then all go back to the ship. As they are leaving the planet, we finally get an actual Imperial Easter egg, which is a new Star Destroyer from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see. Yeah.
A New Hope style too, which is
And they showed up with old Republic cruisers, which that was a weird sight to like see those and then see the Star Destroyer was wild.
And I think you'd Tarkin comes also first.
Huh?
You think he'd swap out the small ships first, you know, yeah. Like logistically speaking, because wouldn't the manufacturing process, investment cost, time to manufacture and design, like all those would be less for a TIE fighter. But no, guys, we need the Super Star Destroyer first.
Speaking
it's a statement
of,
piece, yeah, you know, you it's a, yeah.
Long live the Empire. Yeah.
If they're going off of statement pieces, then Project Stardust wouldn't have needed distribution of funding. They would have just made that right out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Tarkin, he's about the statement pieces, shows up in his fancy dancy new Star Destroyer, trying to get Stardust. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I did think that was going to be the Executor Vader's ship.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the ISD and I was like, if anyone's going to get a statement piece, it's Vader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showing up is like bro code, like, hey, man, if I kill everyone here, you'll cover for me, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But we it's just Tarkin showing up. Yeah. You know, shockingly, he is very disappointed about the outcome of the entire place. He just wants nothing to do with it. He tells the Imperial officer that he's talking to, you guys just need to scrap everything, shut everything down, erase all files, all that. We need to focus on Project Stardust. And to me, that shows like the reason why he was so focused on that was because of he wanted control of that station. Tarkin is, and we later see that in Rogue One of where, you know, even though it was Krennic, he was trying to get most of the credit for that. So it just makes sense why he's so focused on the Death Star being built, in my opinion, at least. But we then go back to the planet of Pabu. And the first thing that we see of when we get there is them walking around. But then we also see the island sushi that we saw from the from season 2, which I was pretty pumped because I thought I remember that episode was so relaxing for the entire batch. So but then we see the kids walking around, including with the clone cadets that we see from the second episode of this season.
It was also, for me at least, the last we saw Wrecker, he was like,
he looked
like he was like maybe dying. And so like going back to Pabu, this was the first time we saw Wrecker again. And like, I was low-key going like,
oh, he's dead. Yeah, because they never showed him get onto the ship.
Yeah, no, they didn't. And they showed him just like kind of like when Echo was talking to him, he just kind of like lulls back. And so I was like, is he dead? Like, is he going to be in this scene? So like, this is the first time that you actually get the,
back
like, oh, Pabu. There it's he like, is. Oh.
Yeah. And we have a scene of where Echo is talking to Dr. Ivry and they talk about her joining the cause to help Captain Rex and them keep going with their clone rebellion. That kind of hinted to me that, you know, there's potential there for that.
Right.
You know, for like some type of show or something. For
sure. I hope so.
Yeah. And it was cool to see most of the team together in the end, even though Echo didn't really, even though he wasn't like, all right, Hunter, Omega, peace out. Like he just kind of gave them like a head nod and
they're going to Pantora, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of really enjoyed of the whole closure of where Omega's like, okay, so we're safe, now what? And then and then Hunter's like, we can do whatever we want. We're now at that point where we wanted to be in season 2, where we are safe. No one really cares about us anymore because the people hunting us down are, you know, all gone. So we get to this really, you know, kind of satisfying shot of where you have Wrecker, Crosshair, Hunter, and Omega and Thatcher just kind of all sitting there underneath the tree. Happy ending. At first, I was like, there's going to be 7 minutes of credits. This is wild to me.
I was waiting for an assassin. I was like, 7 more minutes, they could still kill somebody.
You're just waiting for like to get clotheslined by a red blaster bolt.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, we then open back up on the planet of Pabu, and it looks like, you know, it has flourished. There is more green to it. And I was just curious if like what was going on at first, but then I was with Josh to where I saw a character walk in front of the screen and they had longer blonde hair. I was like, that's Omega. Don't know where this is in the timeline, and we still don't know exactly where in the timeline.
Yeah.
We don't know if it was a couple of years, but man, if that's the case, then Hunter went through a lot, because Hunter has like a long beard and stuff too.
Well, Hunter has accelerated aging and Omega doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She does look a bit older though. Like her face structure.
Yeah. Totally she's different. She's in her 20s.
And she's taller than him.
Yeah.
In the shot, which so it's a bit in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really loved this scene. I don't know. I think I just like the idea of people going off and becoming rebel pilots.
A lot. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about rebel pilots, but I love them. And so, it felt like a nice thing for Omega. It made sense for her character. I think it maybe would have made more sense if she was like, I'm gonna go be spec ops for the rebellion as opposed to a rebel pilot. But it is still very like classic original trilogy. Everyone wanted to be a rebel pilot. You saw the Battle of Yavin, you like rewatched the YouTube video dozens of times when you're in school. Like it's what everyone wanted. And so that does check out. And it was kind of it was nice.
It felt like a really fun draw too. Like the original trilogy to have her be a rebel pilot and be like, oh yeah, we see now where she might show up in these future stories. We see where she fits into the future Star Wars. Yep. And that was pretty cool to see. And I thought that was a good choice on their part to have it be something. So like
she's going to be a New Republic pilot in season 4.
Yeah.
And that's something that I wanted to talk about, was the potential of not just Omega, but the other characters coming back. Because there is a line from Hunter where he pretty much says, if you ever need us, if you ever need anything, we will be there for you.
Yeah.
And they also talked about... because we don't see Crosshair and Wrecker. So in our minds, just like, did they not make it either? Like, I mean, like,
no, because she says take care of them.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then she does mention their names like in presence like of tense, and you're just like, okay, so they are alive. So that opens up the option of all of these characters coming back in the live action. Yeah. It could be, you know, it could be the fourth season of The Mandalorian. It could be the new movie coming out. You know, who knows? I would love to see these characters come back. Most likely it would just be Omega, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
And if they want some consultation, you know, with the Bad Batch, if they're like, hey, you know, there's something here, we need more info. And then if we get Rex, you know, in live action, he could be like, well, I know a couple of people that might know more about this, and they end up going to the planet of Pabu, and then they talk to the rest of the Bad Batch, which seeing them in live action would just be insane.
Yeah,
just completely insane.
Did Omega specifically mention the rebellion against the Empire?
Ooh.
What if she was talking about Rex's clone rebellion?
Because
there's that, and also Echo wasn't on Pabu.
That's right.
So we can assume that Echo's either finally died, or
we're still with Rex.
At this point, if it's the actual rebellion and it was a known thing, this would be the time that Rex was serving in the rebellion. Echo is no longer with him.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of questions on timeline, and we're almost absolutely going to get like a May 4th. We're going to do the Clone Rebellion show or what.
I certainly hope so.
It could be that he's going off to join Rex and Echo.
That's
and this
true.
Is just before we see Rex, Wolf, and Gregor you know, mm-hmm. being hermits.
Yep. Yep. That would also make more sense where she says, hey, this is my fight. Because her fight would be a clone fight. Yeah. And like her fight could also be against the Empire, but it would make a lot more sense for it to be a clone one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Huh, I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, I see it from your guys' point of view, but I really think they were hinting at like the fight against the Empire, specifically with the Rebel Alliance. I think this is happening maybe around the time of, you know, maybe right before the events of Rogue One or something like that. It just makes sense. It's that, but I'm still on the side of, we are probably going to get like a clone rebellion show in some way. I don't know what they would name it. Like they could be right in the nose and be like
clone
the
rebellion.
Clone rebellion or something.
Yeah.
Clone Wars Part 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Cause there's so many things that they didn't tie up. Yep. We don't know what happened to Cody.
Yep.
We didn't see Rex again. We didn't see Wolf again.
Yep.
I think the biggest thing I'm leaning towards is Cody. I can't believe that we didn't see Cody again. They like used him in one episode the last season, and then they were like, he, you know, he's off the grid and he's gone. And that was kind of vague. Is he dead? Did he run off? Like what happened?
Well, and I think all of this is going to make sense if they announce a some kind of Clone Rebellion movie or show or something, because then it's like, oh, okay, these are all the cameos who are going to come back. And if you've watched Bad Batch, it's all going to make sense. Here we've got our cool show. I really hope that's what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm a little skeptical, but
this is what we talked about last week. If they don't tie up all these loose ends and it just becomes a, you know, a softball pitch for a new show to start, it feels a little disingenuous to, you know, seasons. I mean, these characters, Asajj, Wolf was two, but like Cody, they were huge marketing pushes. Emperor Palpatine, one episode in each season that he was heavy in trailers on.
Yeah.
Like they were all cameos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're huge marketing pushes that, you know, they kind of said like, you know, you're going to see these characters. We're going to see their story. Yep. You saw like 5 minutes of their life and then they were like, and never again.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Like, it's almost like it would be a little bit less of a, like, I don't know, less of a kick if they wouldn't have showed you them in the trailers.
Yeah.
Because then then you could be happy to be like, wow, cool. We saw a cameo of this character for a second. Yes. That's so cool. I never thought we would. You know, but because they were sold so heavily, it feels a little like, come on.
Well, because I remember seeing the trailer for season 2 in Anaheim and watching it and being like, oh my God, Cody is a major player. It's going to be him v. Rex. Like, that's the way they set it up. And then it's like, he's literally in there for like one episode.
Yeah.
And I wish, I do wish the trailers had been a little bit more like honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And as Omega is taking off, she still has the tech goggles. And she's kind of using that as like her Han Solo dice in my opinion. And then she takes off and then, you know, that's it. That's the end of the show.
Dave Filoni, try not to kill a character challenge, actually succeeded.
Yeah, no kidding. I was so surprised.
I was really shocked that he didn't kill one of them in the finale.
Yep.
It had to be a different writing team.
No kidding. Yeah, that's what, after we watched, we were like, no way.
Like did that actually, like, did nobody die in the last episode? That was insane.
And not this week, because some of our team is out over at Disneyland having a great time for Star Wars Day and everything. But next week, I think most of us are going to try and come back so we can do a Bad Batch series, like full out kind of recap and just talk about the highlights and all the great things that happened in the show. Because, you know, I think the show, it means a lot to us, and it means a lot to the fan community. And there's so many great things that have come out of the show. So it's kind of surreal that it's over now. Yeah. It's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak for myself. Like this, like I loved the finale. I know it didn't tie up as much as it could have, but like I think the things it didn't, you know, we'll see later. And that's cool. And as far as the Batch's story goes, like it really wrapped up their story really nicely. And this show has been really cool to get a really clone heavy, really intensive, yeah. Just about these couple characters show. And it's been really fun, and it's had a lot of fun opportunities, and so
yeah,
having the show end is pretty surreal, but yeah I 10 out of 10 for me.
Oh yeah,
there you go Cap.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it's like we all of us grew up with Clone Wars, and we love Clone Wars. We would, you know, get those DVDs and we would watch them over and over and over again. We love them. And then, you know, I never thought we'd see a story about clones again. I thought that was over. And so having the Bad Batch come out over the last 3 years has just been something that I never thought we'd get to see. And by all rights, we kind of shouldn't have gotten to see. And it's focused on clones. The thing that was, you know, the best part of Clone Wars for me is the clone story. And so we have this story that follows these specific ones over all of this time. And it has brought together old Clone Wars fans who grew up with it with new Star Wars fans who they never knew what Clone Wars was. They've never seen it, but the Bad Batch brought them in. And I think it's had this really cool effect of bringing so many fans together over the story of clones. And that's the story that I'm most interested, honestly, in Star Wars, is the clones. I love it. And so I'm so glad we got this show. And I mean, it is one of, maybe it's my favorite. I don't know. I'm nostalgic now. But yeah, I've loved it.
Josh?
I kind of poured into the episode over the course of this, but like from an honest perspective, if you take away the high expectations and you realize that Scorch died last year, it tied up the main characters of the Batch. We got moments that honored all of them, especially the characters that this season made a big point of making kind of their main character arcs, Continue Omega and Crosshair. We got big moments for them to pay off their season-wide arcs. And at the end of the day, it was an ending where you were satisfied for those characters. Now, yep. Were there a lot of loose ends that weren't tied? Yes. Were there a lot of hopes that we didn't get met? Yes. But we aren't, at the end of the day, we aren't truly owed those. We're just, we still got a story that we, by all means, it is incredibly rare that we got. Like, we got it because people just kept badgering them to make season 7 of the Clone Wars.
Yep. And then
And then I probably wouldn't give it a full 10 out of 10, but it still did a good job for being a finale for the characters that this show is named after.
I agree with that. I'm leaning towards more of what Josh said, just because of, you know, it's not that I felt like it was rushed. It was more like there were so many plots that were just kind of tossed to the side, and it's more like, is there going to be another show? Are they going to talk about these things that they kind of skipped over? So I'm really curious of what's going to happen within the next couple of days. It has been tradition for the past couple of years that May 4th has been kind of that announcement time of different shows, different movies, you know just different things happening. So I'm hoping that what Josh ends up, you know, saying is very true, because I really would love to see that. But yeah, this is it. But don't worry, we are still doing Clone Wars commentaries, and we also have a couple of other things in the works. We will announce that next week. And we are doing a special giveaway. Star is almost done with it. Yeah.
It'll be. Yeah. Yep, we're good. Soon.
Is there any closing words that you guys have? Any words of wisdom?
Keep track of your shooting hand. Oh, God.
There you go.
If you want to find out what your shooting hand is, close one eye. Put your finger in front of you. Now open it. If the finger changes position relative to an object behind it, that's not your shooting eye.
I thought you were going to say if your hand that you held your finger up is still there, then
then chop it. Just
no, your shooting eye determines your shooting hand, but that also counts. If you once you find your shooting hand, don't stop looking at it.
Okay, all right. May the force be with you always.